Last March, we had a gathering of the clergy elders in the Salvation Army camp in Wisconsin. And I asked Bob to teach on unity. And the teaching that he did inspired within me the desire that we develop this in a greater detail in our weekend in the Word. And we're going to do that. He handled the theme verse magnificently last night, indicating what it really requires to have unity within the body of Christ. And now what we're going to start looking at is those seven items, those seven ones that's listed right after that. Those important things that for the members of the body of Christ to be able to understand and be like-minded about in order to work ministry together. And so I thought it was going to be important for us to have a good handle on what those things are, what those different points are. And so we're going to have the teachers handle one at a time, starting at the beginning. And the topic of the one body is going to be handled by a mother and son team. And the first one's going to start out that on the one body is Brian Haggerty. Come on up, Brian.
Morning. God bless you all. It's always great to be here. Thanks, Charlie and the board, for the opportunity to teach. It's always an honor to be able to present God's Word before you all. So I'm going to try and go fast since we kind of got a split teaching here. So I want to talk about the one body, what it is, and how to perform your role. We'll start out in 1 Corinthians 12. In verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 12, it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." There are so many members of the body of Christ. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, and you believe that God raised him from the dead, sorry, you're stuck. You are now a part of the body of Christ. Whether you like it or not, you're stuck with everyone else. You know, you're a part of something greater than what you were before. You know, and Bob said, he said there's 33,000 different denominations of Christianity. You know, the adversary is trying really, really hard to break us up. And he's been successful, it seems, over the past couple thousands of years. But we have to preserve the unity of the Spirit as much as we can, as much as we are able to. Verse 13 here, chapter 12. "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." We're all on the same playing field here. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter what country you're from. We're all on the same playing field. We're all a part of the body of Christ. And we might have different jobs in that body, but our commonality is we all have the same heritage. We all have the same Father. We all have the same Spirit. And that ties us together. And that tightness is something that can't ever be broken. Verse 14, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" Sometimes we get very jealous of another believer's role in the body. And I'm sure some of you right now might be thinking, well, maybe I should be up there teaching this. I've got a pretty good idea of the body of Christ, and I could probably teach it better than Brian could. And you're probably right. But that jealousy isn't fair to yourself or to others or to the body of Christ. God gave you a specific purpose. He gave you a specific job. And if you want to argue with him on that, go ahead. But I don't think you're going to win. And, you know, you shouldn't compare yourself to others. That only leads to disappointment. And it's not fair to yourself or to anyone else. Just listen to what God is asking you to do and get busy doing it. And you'll find great joy and fulfillment in doing that. There's more here about the body, but we're going to skip over to, or I'm just going to read, we're going to skip the rest of it and go keep going on to other stuff. But I want to read Ephesians 4:16. You don't have to go there. I'm reading from the ESV. Bob mentioned this one last night, too. From whom Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And I want to focus a little bit on that, when each part is working properly, because we're all in the body, whether we like it or not. So now what we need to do is figure out how we can work properly. You know, we're always warring against the old man, the new man and the old man, always warring against each other. And so we need to work properly in the body so that it can function correctly. So we're going to go to Romans 12. And you can hunker in here because that's where we'll be for the rest of my section. And verse 4 here in Romans 12. It says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. We are a team, and just because we're different than each other does not mean that that team is dissipated, you know? I really like American football. Funny, I say American football, I've got Australians working in the office I work in, so they have a different type of football. But I really like football, and what I think is so cool about it is each player has a different role. Each one of them has a different man to cover, a different route to run. All of them is different. And there's 11 people on each team at any one time. They all have to function in their specific role together in synchronicity in order to make it work. And I think that's really cool. One guy screws up, the whole play is busted. And so true it is of the body. We so desperately need each other. And we so desperately need each other to work well, and so that we can support each other and help each other out. We can't do this alone. So let's go back to verse 1 here of chapter of Romans 12. And what I thought was cool, I never really saw this before, but this whole chapter is about how you need to act in order so that you can be a fully functioning, well-lubricated member of the body. And we'll see that as we go through here. So, verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." The members of the body need to be selfless. They need to be a living sacrifice. They need to give all that they can so that they can be a full service to the body. If your foot only worked half the time, would you be satisfied with that? You know, if you got up to go walk and you just fell over, you'd go see a doctor. You'd have it looked at. Something's obviously wrong. So we need each other to be working fully all the time. So if we're going to be members of the body, we must forsake ourselves and work towards the sacrifice that God would have us achieve. Verse 2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This world wants to take you down. It wants to grab you with its slimy, greasy hands and pull you right down into the muck. But what do? We're not going to let that happen. We have to transform our minds to rise above that muck. But it's a mental game. We need to be mentally sharp. And it's a spiritual game. We need to be spiritually sharp. If everyone here were to transform completely in every way possible, you know, the body will start to become unstoppable. Because we have the power of Christ. We are unstoppable if we transform ourselves to this word. And when we do this, when we transform ourselves, we prove that God's plans are the best plans. Because man's wisdom can only get you so far. It can maybe build you a bridge, But God's wisdom is going to get you much further. And it appears foolish, but it is much smarter. Verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." So this is a reminder about pride. Do not think that you are more important than another member of the body. That's what the old man likes to do, though. He likes to see people as his enemy. He likes to be adversarial and combative. He likes to see things as a hierarchy, you know, a ladder of who's on top, who's on bottom. But we need to humble ourselves and to remember that everyone got the same amount of spirit. You know, someone didn't get more spirit than you do. You know, no one is more spiritual than you are. You know, things, people might know more of the word. People might be sharper. But no one's more spiritual than you, because we all have the same amount of spirit. We all got the same pouring out. And that's how God sees us. God sees us equally. And that's the real truth. What God sees is the real truth. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, right? So we've got different things that we need to do. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. When God gives you a job, get busy doing it. You know, don't think that you're not worthy. God makes you worthy. He's not going to call you to something that you're not going to be good at. It might be uncomfortable, but you're going to be good at it if you start doing it and lean on God. You are a member in particular. There's a job that only you can do. Only you can do it. And it'd be a shame if you didn't do it. Verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. And that phrase, without dissimulation, makes no sense if you speak normal English. And that means without hypocrisy, or to be sincere. You know, let your love be sincere. Don't fake it. You know, put yourself into it. Love people. You know how to do it because you've got that spirit. We need to see each other with the eyes of God to see what he sees. Then it's really easy to love people. And we are to hate what is evil and cling to what is good. And that seems simple, but we screw it up sometimes, right? We think, oh, okay, you know, that's not that bad. You know, I could dabble in this a little bit. Or it's a slippery slope. Don't let yourself go down that road. You have to be sharp. You can't help the body as much if you're stuck in something evil. Verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Mom will touch on this a little bit more later, but we need to love each other as friends do as well. You know, we have that love of God, but we should also have philopeo, that brotherly love one towards another. Just like Jonathan and David did. And we should prefer each other. You know, if you're going to hang out with someone, hang out with a believer. Prefer that person. Because we're a family. We should stick around each other. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So we've all got jobs, you know, worldly jobs. We need to have those to make ends meet. Be good at your job. Be diligent. Be energetic. Be optimistic. When we do that, we make great examples of God in that way. We're here to represent him. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Okay, these are getting a little bit more difficult now, right? Rejoice in hope. Okay, I can do that. Christ is coming back. All right. I like this. Patient in tribulation, though? Okay. I don't think I like that one. When crisis comes, I'm supposed to be patient? No thanks. Get me out of this right now, God. I don't want to be in this a moment more. Continuing instance in prayer. You know, have you seen how crazy my problem is? I don't have time to pray. I need to take care of this right now. You know, yeah, I think you can see what the problem is here. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. If you see that your brother or sister has a need and you have the ability to take care of the need, take care of the need. Don't hold back what you can give. And given to hospitality is always welcoming, always taking care of people. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Okay, well now this one though. This one is definitely impossible, right? I don't think I can bless them that persecute me. Bless and curse not. Okay, but God would never ask us to do something we can't do, right? That would be a cruel God, but he's not. We can do this. And you know, this commandment is a huge distinguisher between man-made religion and God's wisdom. You know, most religions, it's totally okay to kill people who disagree with you. You know, it's totally okay to hate people who don't want to do your religion. But that's not what God is about. You know, these are the teachings of the one true God. So let's make God look good. Bless them always. Don't let the cancer spread. You know, you are in control of you. Verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Now, this is something I've learned a lot about in marriage. We rejoice with each other even if the temptation is to be jealous. And we weep with each other because we long to carry the burden of each other. You know, you do that in a marriage, we do that for each other in the body of Christ too. Don't think that you can carry it yourself. We're here for each other. 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Condescend is not exactly a great word in the way we talk right now, but that's to find the lowest common denominator and connect to people that way. Change your speech so that you're understood. You know, Jesus was an extremely learned man. He was in the temple all the time. He knew the scriptures very well. But what did he do when he talked to people? He used agricultural metaphors. Talked about plants. Talked about vines. All this stuff. He talked in a way that people could understand him. It's very important. Lofty words and philosophy just puff you up. Verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Do not stoop to the evils of the natural man. We've broken, God and Jesus Christ have broken that chain for us. Let's stay on the high road. Let's stick with the new man. But it's very hard to do sometimes. We need to use the wisdom of God and stay honest. This will delight God and help the body of God. Again, a member of the body, they may be attacking you, you know, but do no evil. Do not pay them back with evil, even if evil is done to you. Verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Bob touched on this last night. But sometimes, you know, war will happen, or sometimes people will be aggressive and combative. But more often than not, especially in the time we live in, it is very possible to live peaceably with the people around you. We can have differing opinions, but we can't attack people because of those opinions. Don't let it be a wedge between you and the opportunity to share God's love with people. There's always an opportunity to share God's love with people, as long as they will receive it as much as possible. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So God's really push in this, you know, be not overcome of evil. Don't pay people back for the evil things they do to you. Love them instead. Wrongs and great tragedies will happen to you. God guarantees this. It rains on the just and the unjust more often than you'd like. But we are not here to defeat other humans. They are not our true enemy. We are here to minister and to love them with the love of God. Then we can warm them up with the love of God, which is what this Orientalism means. Keeping coals of fire on them is to warm them up with that love of God. And we need to try with all our might to bring them into the body of Christ, because then it can work even better. We have more members with more jobs to do, and they're working better. Their function is working well. It benefits all of us. Benefits us. By doing that, we can defeat the plans of the wicked one. So my encouragement is to get to know this chapter and to get to know it well. The application of it is phenomenal. God will give you the strength and power to become an amazing member of the body of Christ. You might be low on yourself right now. You might think you're a, you know, no good Christian who hasn't done anything good ever. I don't know. But that's not what God thinks of you. And God knows your true strength, and He's going to give you more. He's going to give you strength. And when we are all diligent and we're working together smoothly, understanding everyone's importance, the power and love of God is going to be explosive. And that's the power of the body of Christ. So let's get in line with God's love. Let's get in line with His will for our lives. And let's see what blessings He has for all of us. Okay? So, God bless. So, next up, I've known her since I was born. My wonderful mother, Marty Haggerty. Come on up.
Hi. It's good to be here. Thank you very much for having me in. Thanks, Charlie. And thanks, Kim, for translating. E pluribus unum. E pluribus unum is one of the mottos of the United States of America, along with liberty and in God we trust. And E pluribus unum means out of many, one. Isn't that cool? And it was the 13 colonies, but they were united as one nation. And I think of us being a one body like that. We're many. All of us are unique individuals that God has called to the one body. And if you think of the physical body, it works together in a concerted effort to achieve a goal. Right? If I have an itch, my hand comes up. I scratch my nose. You know, that's how the body works. There's a need. It takes care of the need. We work together for a goal. And the goal is that we work together as devoted disciples of Christ are in the Word. And that's what being a part of the family is to me. Out of many, one, that we work together to achieve these wonderful things that can be happening from the Word of God. Let's go to Ephesians 4 first. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. When I read our theme verse I'm a photographer, and one of the things I love is macro photography. And macro photography is where you zoom in on something, and you just kind of blow it up. If you've been in my home, you've seen the big butterfly that I have on the wall. Well, a butterfly is only about this big, but the one on my wall is about this big. It's a macro photo of a butterfly. So that's what my teaching is today. We're going to do a macro of one another, which is a really interesting occurrence in the Bible. It says several times in the word, many times, one another. And one another is one word in Greek. I can't pronounce it correctly, but allelon. And the Greek word is not as important as the understanding of it, which is mutual, or reciprocal. Right? So it's mutual. We are doing things back and forth. We are reciprocating in the family of God, in the one body. And so I looked it up, and the love that is expressed in the places where one another is incredible. The word love, one another, is used 69 times in 19 verses. We're going to look at a couple of them. Gospel of John, chapter 15. Verse 12. Jesus Christ said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And verse 17, "These things I command you, that you love one another." And let's skip back to 1 John 3:23. There's a lot in between these two verses, but I don't have time for us to look at all of them. And you could do this. It's so easy today to do a word study. You can just set aside a few minutes each morning, start one, get it all set up, and then work on it a little bit at a time. First John 3:23. Let's see if I remember the right place. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And chapter 4, verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God." And verse 12, "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected unto us." And somewhere else in the Bible it says that we are known by that love of God that we love one another with. So I'm going to just list some of the other things that it says about where I looked up one another. It says that we should forbear one another, which means to put up with, endure, suffer. We've got to suffer one another. Sometimes my brothers and sisters seem a little insufferable, but for the most part... For the most part, they're lovable. So, and those are in Ephesians 4:2 and Colossians 3:13. It says to greet one another, which means to receive joyfully. We receive one another joyfully in 1 Corinthians 16:20, 2 Corinthians 13:12, 1 Peter 5:14. Admonish one another, which means to warn or exhort. It's really important that we admonish one another in Romans 15:14 and Colossians 3:16. And I think of the older people, our wonderful older people who have wisdom and can warn our younger people from the Word of God. And exhort one another, it means to teach, encourage, or strengthen one another. Comfort one another, two places, and both in Thessalonians. Be kind, tender-hearted to one another, Ephesians 4:32. Kindly affectioned, which is that tender family love, to cherish and to honor one another, Romans 12:10. To serve one another, and that serve is the douleo, and it's the serve by choice and commitment, a slave to serve. We serve God, but we serve one another. Consider one another. We're going to look at this one later. That means to be attentive, to observe and understand one another. Isn't that cool? to receive one another as Christ received us, to take us, one's companion, that we find friendship one with another in the body, in the family of God, that we salute one another. And it's not this. It's not this salute. It's the salute. It means you welcome them. Maybe you see them afar off and you yell, "My friend is here." We have compassion one for another in 1 Peter 3:8. We forgive one another, a very important element in the family of God, in Colossians 3:13, Ephesians 4:32. And of course, forgiveness is many places in the Bible. This is just one another. And that we teach one another. I love this because there's things you know that I don't know. There's things that you have experienced that I haven't experienced. And then when we get together and talk the word, we teach one another. There's a guy, I read his book, and his name is Charles Swindoll, and he said, "Christians are the only ones who shoot their wounded." But you know what? We're supposed to bind up one another's wounds. When we are hurt, or we have people who are hurt in the family of God, we are binding up their wounds. We are comforting them. And I know this to be true with this group of believers for me. When I was hurt and needed comfort, they stood with me and they helped bind up my wounds. And so that's what we do. And we love each other with that love of God, which we're going to talk about more in a minute. But I just want to say that there is no gangrene on the body, on the one body. There is nothing that cannot be healed. Because gangrene, as you know, is something they end up, you got to cut it off, you know, because it's so bad. It's so germy and so rotten. It can't regenerate anymore. That's not true in the family of God. We need everybody. There's nothing that cannot be healed or helped or loved or comforted. Okay, here's a quote. See if you can think about who might have said this. "I don't need the family of God and can go about my Christian walk alone." That's a lie of the adversary. And he says that many ways, many times. And believers have heard it and they have rationalized and justified this belief many times. But it's a lie. It is untrue. I think that people maybe go off on their own because they are tired of being hurt and rejected. And so they insulate themselves from hurt. But you know what? Being a part of the family of God, I cannot guarantee that you will not be hurt. Cannot guarantee it, because we are people. We are human. And so we must forgive. We must love. And I hear in my head my children and my voice saying to them when they're little, "Get that fighting!" Right? It's easier said than done, I know. But I know that I've been hurt plenty of times, and I've been willing to put myself back out there because I remember what Jesus Christ did for me. And the few hurts that I have don't compare. So I think it's worth it. It's so wonderful. The rewards are so much greater than the temporary hurts. Let's turn to Colossians 3:15. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful." God called you, and he called you to be in a family. That's God's will for your life, to be in a family. If you have hurts and such things in the family of God, allow yourself to be comforted. That's a big key. If you don't allow yourself to be comforted, you can't get healing. You can't get that comfort and fit in where you want to fit in the family of God. And we need each other, and we need what we bring to the family of God. We need what each person brings. And never underestimate the impact that your life and your attitude has on the other people in the family of God. Life is 10% what happens to you and 90% your attitude toward that thing. Whatever that little thing was that offended you. That's in the 10% category. How you deal with that is the 90% part. And that's the rich, lovely part of life, is your attitude and the joy that it brings you from the way you think. Think the word. So what that guy said or did to offend you and hurt you is the 10%, the suffer part. So we want to live in the 90% time as much as we possibly can. And God's word shows us clearly how to live successfully in a family. Let's go to Hebrews 10. It can be done. Okay, so I'm going to unpack this verse for you guys. I went through and did... pulled out all the Greek words and meanings of the word. So first we're going to read it, and then we'll go back through it. In Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So let us consider is the Greek word katineo, and it means observe and understand, to be attentive to one another. And that's our next word is one another, which means mutually or reciprocally. It doesn't mean just one person is attentive. It means we do it back and forth with one another. And the next word is eis, unto, or toward. Toward this next thing, the word is provoke. And it's paroxysmos. I think of paroxysms, but which is our spasms or whatever. But it means to provoke, to incite, to rouse people to do passionately. Like, remember in history when they've had those riots because they weren't getting paid enough? And people would get up and speak things that would incite people. And of course, they would do violence. But we want to do it in the good way. We want to provoke people onto love. That's our next word, which is agape. It's God's love. It's that unconditional, unselfish, sacrificial, unmerited, gracious, constant love that God gives. It's who He is. And a side note, humans aren't capable of that love without spirit. If you look at Romans 5:5, it tells us that God flooded our souls with spirit. God is love. So that spirit that He flooded our souls with is love. So you have the love of God in you, and spiritually you are capable of this unconditional, unselfish, sacrificial, unmerited, gracious, constant love, God's love. We are capable of it. He made us able. The next word is and, which means likewise, to good. And good is beautiful, commendable, excellent in nature and character, pure-hearted works. And the works is labor. It's your deeds. It's anything that you put your hand to do at business, at work, your family, your friendships, anything that you put your hand to do. So let us consider, let's read it in the King James again. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love. Isn't that cool? That is just so provoke unto love, incite people to love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembly of getting together in groups of believers and teaching one another and loving one another as the manner of some is. We want to be together. We want to teach one another. So, I can't be provoked or incited to love without brothers and sisters to do that. Right? And it's the greatest thing to be a part of the family of God. So we should be willing to endure and suffer those minor hurts that happen in a family so that we can have. And there's great power in that love when we love one another. It's a powerful thing. It's a spiritual thing. Now, there's some negative verses of one another. I'm just going to quickly give you the rundown on those. Matthew 24:10, Jesus was speaking on the Mount of Olives. He says, in the end times, many will be offended and betray and hate one another. In Romans 2:15, it says, do not be accusing and excusing one another. Romans 14:13 says, don't judge one another. Don't be a stumbling block. And Galatians 5:15 says, don't bite and devour one another. Ouch. Don't do it. Galatians 5:26 says, don't be wanting vain glory, self-importance. Don't be egotistical. There's no rock stars or royalty in the family of God. And don't challenge, don't provoke one another to combat. And don't envy one another. In Titus 3:3, it says, we used to be foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving the lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. We used to be that before we got in the Word. If we're at that address, we need to move. That is not a good place to be. We need to be where today we are, the other things that I shared. And we're going to be closing here in 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love, here's our word, one another, with a pure heart fervently. And just quickly, obey is to comply or to submit. The truth is what is true of God and the duties of man. It's in the Bible, the truth. It's the Word of God. Unfeigned means sincere, undisguised love. Sincere, undisguised love. I want that. And then the next word is Philadelphia, love of the brethren. It's a brotherly love, doing things for each other to help each other. And then the next word is agapeo, the verb form of God's love, that we are concerned about the welfare of our brothers and sisters, and we do it with a pure heart, having no other motives. And the last word, fervently, is intensely, to love earnestly. You don't need to hold back in your love for the family. And remember, this family is forever. It's a forever thing. You're never going to get out of it. You're in it. God bless you. I love you.
Well, isn't it wonderful to be a part of a body like that? I mean, it isn't like the Lions Club or the Kiwanis's or stuff like that, which are all good groups. I mean, I've got no complaints about what they do. But there's nothing like the body of Christ. So let's take a 20-minute break. Be back in your seats at 20 after 10. Okay? God bless. Thank you.